You're listening to Catholic Chicago Week in Review on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you conversation about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago Week in Review.
Good morning. I'm Jim Dish with the Archdiocese of Chicago's Radio TV office, joining you on Relevant Radio 950 and 930 AM. Every Saturday morning, we bring you highlights of our Catholic Chicago radio programs that air throughout the week. We have a special presentation for you this morning. This past Thursday, we looked back at 2018 and also got a preview of the new year with four guests representing very important ministries of the Archdiocese of Chicago. At the anchor desk, Holy Name Cathedral Rector Father Greg Sakowitz and Graziano Marcheschi of Shalom Media kicked off the show by visiting with Catholic School Superintendent Dr. Jim Rigg.
We have four terrific guests, one each quarter, beginning with none other than Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for Archdiocese. Jim, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Father. Merry Christmas.
And Christmas and belated Christmas and also Happy New Year to your entire family. I just thought of this, Jim. The first time we ever talked on the phone, I think it was with Graz, with you on the phone from Cincinnati.
That's right.
You had just been named the position of Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and we spent half the time talking about the Denver Broncos and
your love
for football.
You were just a name at the time. Now you're a flesh and blood human being whom we've come to know and love.
Oh, and also co-host, or really beginning to host, the Catholic Schools Today once a month program, a third Monday of the month. So, Jim, tell us what's happening the past year. We're looking forward to 2019.
Well, in Catholic school education, we always have a lot going on. So there are many things I could mention about the year that was. Of course, in education, we think about school years. So we're about halfway through the 18-19 school year, looking forward to the spring semester. But this was, among other things, our first year of implementing the new state tax credit scholarship program. So this is the $100 million tax credit program that helps to fund needs-based scholarships for students to attend private schools. And in total, amongst the 209 Catholic schools of the Archdiocese, we had, about 5,000 or so scholarships go out there. And so it was a real benefit to families in our schools and joining our schools.
It's about time.
Yeah. So the thing is that
I hate to put it that way, but as a Catholic school parent of many years who invested a great deal of money and doesn't regret a penny of it, but it's about time that the state is helping us a little bit because we are doing so much for the state.
And your wife, Nancy, teaches in Catholic school system.
Yeah,
under
teaches
Pope John
in the
Paul
Catholic
II.
I taught in Catholic schools. It's about time.
But now, Jim, I have a question regarding the tax credit. Has the state made it difficult for people to obtain the tax credit? Or does it make it challenging at times?
Not particularly. So the scholarships are actually assigned through independent scholarship granting organizations. And there are two big ones that we work with in the Archdiocese. Empower Illinois, which is a big statewide SGO, and then the Big Shoulders Fund, which also operates an SGO. And to their credit, both of those groups, Empower Illinois and Big Shoulders, have tried to make it as easy as possible for families to apply for and receive the tax credit scholarships. So we are we're in the last stages of getting ready for applications for next school year. So this would be the 19-20 school year. And if you don't mind a brief advertisement, Empower Illinois will open up their applications for tax credit scholarships for families at 7 o'clock p.m. on January the 15th. So just right around the corner. And then Big Shoulders will open up their applications on the 22nd at 8 a.m., January 22nd. And for donors, folks who want to receive a tax credit, a state income tax credit, to support this very worthy cause, they can go right now onto our website, archchicago.org, and learn more about how they can leverage their state taxes to support families in Catholic schools.
Tell our listeners what SGO stands for.
So that's the Scholarship Granting Organization, the third-party 501c3 groups that actually administer the scholarships. by law, we as the Archdiocese, as folks that actually operate schools, are not allowed to administer the scholarship. So we have to work with third-party partners.
All right.
Now, what else is happening as we move into 2019, Jim?
Oh, just so much. Gosh. So, as you know,
we have Catholic Schools Week coming up.
Yes, I was going to say, every year we set aside a week to celebrate the history and excellence and faith and mission of Catholic education, and that week always begins the last Sunday in January. So this year, Catholic Schools Week is January 27th through February 2nd. There will be an abundance of events and masses and celebrations throughout the 209 schools of the Archdiocese. That week also kicks off our re-registration and registration season for our Catholic elementary schools. So there's going to be a lot of information out in the world about the value of a Catholic education. A little bit later in the year, on February 22nd, at Holy Name Cathedral, we have the annual African American Heritage Service.
Now, that is a great celebration, Jim. I've been there for the last couple, and the cathedral is packed. The energy, the enthusiasm, it is marvelous. You have to really experience it.
It really is second to none. This will be the 41st year that event has been celebrated, and I'm not African American, but I have a deep appreciation for what the African American population and culture has meant to the city of Chicago.
And Jim, is it the 41st in the cathedral?
41st.
I thought it was about like 25. That's amazing.
Nope. So, it's a big deal, and again, really shows off, I think, the rich history and culture of African Americans in our church and in the city of Chicago.
Every couple of years, we're lucky to see a new Catholic school opening. Are there any new schools on the horizon, any new parishes that did not have schools that are in the process of creating one?
There's a talk about some conversions, some schools that are changing kind of their governance model, but they would essentially still be the same schools. There's no brand new schools that I'm aware of that are thinking about starting up at this time, but I never say never.
Yeah,
you never know where it's going to go.
I know a few years ago, it may be more than a few years now.
Now, don't date yourself, Doug.
Yeah, St. Mary's, Old St. Mary's downtown started. They were adding one grade per year. How many grades have they got now?
Oh, Old St. Mary's is doing very well. So they are a preschool through eighth grade now.
They've got all eight grades. So it's more than just a couple years ago.
Nice going, Grats.
They're packed in that building. I think they've got a wait list. It's really exciting to see how that school has grown and flourished.
Now, another area maybe, Jim, to talk about for a second is, I know you mentioned over the last year, the strategic plan, which is really ongoing. Now, parts or phases have been started and others are to be started. Can you talk a little bit about the strategic plan?
So we are in year two of our strategic plan, which we call Renewal and Hope. Not coincidentally, not accidentally, a title that is very similar to Renew My Church, the much larger revitalization project of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And our strategic plan contains a number of initiatives designed to ensure that we have high-quality, vibrant schools that provide the very best academic and faith-based instruction possible. And so year two, we've got a lot going on. I'll just give you one sample of something you'll see in the second semester of this school year. We are really ramping up our efforts to recruit teachers. We haven't done a lot to recruit teachers historically. We just sort of hoped that they would come to us, and we've been blessed by the many, many great teachers that work in our Catholic schools. But we're in the midst of a statewide teacher shortage that's impacting public schools and Catholic schools alike. And so this spring, as we approach the teacher hiring season, we're going to be doing a lot to try to identify teachers of a variety of backgrounds to work in Catholic schools. We want good instructors, but we also want people who understand and appreciate our unique Catholic mission. People who are passionate.
You sound
about
like you're in a submarine.
Do I? So they're going to be seeing more information about teacher recruitment coming out in the kind of mid-spring time.
Yeah, schools of education have also been hurting for students. What was it that began this discouragement of young people going into the field of education? it seems like it started maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, and now obviously we're feeling the results of it.
Hey, you know, for some strange reason, when the economy improves, we see fewer people getting into education. So really, a poor economy is better for teachers in terms of a supply.
Now, you know what? I never heard of that before.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I've heard from several of the universities that they're just not seeing as many teacher candidates come in.
So a better economy, fewer teachers into the field, a tougher economy, more teachers blossom in that area.
Correct. And I don't know if people are just looking at other careers. They're not finding jobs in business or other fields, and they want to join education. I really don't know. Be worthy of a graduate study of some kind.
That's right.
I just find that you're just talking about now in the state of Illinois, a teacher shortage. Gratz, were you aware of that, right now, what Jim just said?
No, I knew that there was a shortage of education students. But I guess I hadn't put it together that would quickly or eventually translate into a teacher shortage.
For both of you,
we don't think defining teachers who are straight out of universities. We do believe that there's a strong place in Catholic education for what I'll call second lifers, people who were maybe teachers and they've jumped away into other careers or stay-at-home parents. They want to come back, or people who have never been teachers who want to enter the field for the first time.
Mm-hmm. But see, now I'll give you an example that we live in a society to make the big dollars. I want to be a football player, basketball player, baseball player. Yeah. You know, the salaries that they attain, and yet it's so unreal because how many are making that type of money versus, well, why would you want to be only a teacher? Look at their salary, which is so sad. Because I find education, especially Catholic education with our children, is such an incredible gift one can offer, you know, moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Education is absolutely life-giving. Uh-huh. I was a teacher for several years and absolutely loved it, and I'm still in contact with many of my former students.
So what kind of
great things.
What kind of strategies are you going to be employing to attract teachers to the Catholic schools?
We've got a multi-pronged approach that we are developing. Now, it's not yet final. It will be final in time for the teacher hiring season, which will happen in March and April. I think long-term, we have to look at the issue of compensation. We're not yet sure how we crack that nut. We'd love to be able to help our teachers more in terms of salary. But short-term, we're looking more at kind of a mini-marketing campaign that would include connecting more closely with the schools of education, reaching out to folks in businesses and other organizations that might be interested in teaching, doing some social media work. We're looking at a variety of strategies to try to encourage people to think about a Catholic school education.
Well, teachers want to teach at a Blue Ribbon school, they should come to the Catholic schools.
In the Archdiocese, we want to thank in a very special way Dr. Jim Rigg, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jim, thank you for joining us today. You're doing a marvelous job with schools in the Archdiocese.
Thanks to Dr. Jim Rigg for being part of our radio ministry all year long. For more information on Catholic schools in the Chicago area, go to schools.archchicago.org. Stick around. We have the president of Catholic Charities joining us after this short break.
What looks more peaceful than a sleeping baby? I'm Monsignor Mike Boland with Catholic Charities. So often mothers and fathers come to us, homeless, hungry, and hopeless, with a sleeping infant. They remind me of a cold, starry night and a mother, father, and their sleeping infant in Bethlehem. Because of your help, there is always room in our inn and hope. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
More than 200,000 worshipers make a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We introduce you to the priest who will preach to the bishops when they attend a special retreat called by the Pope to be held at Mundelein Seminary in January. And we show you the unique sandcastle nativity scene that was erected by American artists in St. Peter's Square.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Welcome back to Catholic Chicago Week in Review, where we bring you highlights of Archdiocese of Chicago radio programs that can be heard Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 in the morning on WNDZ 750 AM. Catholic Charities helps more than 1 million people in Cook and Lake counties every year without regard to religious, ethnic, or economic background. Catholic Charities President Monsignor Michael Boland joins Father Greg and Gratz to talk about the ongoing outreach to the needy in the Chicago area.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Mike, how are you?
Good. How's yourself?
Doing fine. How was your Christmas, Mike?
It was great. Tiring, but great.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you're running around like crazy and the blessings, too, into the new year.
Yeah,
for everybody. And it came and went so fast. In fact, I was mentioning to a Gratz right now before you came on the air. When we were kids, we were saying how old we'd be in the year 2000. I remember I was 8 or 9 years old saying, in the year 2000, I'll be 47 years old. And that's already almost 20 years ago. How fast it's gone by. And
it's
of course,
gone
Mike,
by.
Mike, you're still 29 years old.
God willing.
And one of the great constants throughout those decades
has been Michael Boland.
Despite the ups and downs in the life of the church, despite the crisis that the church has gone through in the past year, the one thing that people look to, the one bright light that nobody can argue, is the work done by Catholic Charities.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen on that one.
So, Mike, give us some of the big highlights in the work of Catholic Charities over the past year.
Well, this past year, you know, we were just finishing our 100th anniversary celebration, and so we opened and dedicated our Tolton Peace Center on the west side, and we've expanded our services there to include job training, counseling, specialized therapy for victims of abuse. In our veteran support services, we have a beautiful garden there for the neighborhood. And here at Catholic Charities, our headquarters at St. Vincent's, we created a centennial garden for all the people who come to us. And we began.
That was a great event that day, Mike. By the way,
yeah,
we had, our dedication.
Yes, and then we opened our St. Francis, Pope Francis Ministries, where we offer now showers and laundry for all of the homeless that come to us. And some people are surprised to know that we have over 5,000 people a week who come to this place alone just to receive food, clothes, our dinners.
5,000 per week?
I'm one of those surprised people. That's an incredible number.
Right there on LaSalle there by Superior, 5,000 per week?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So they come for food, they come for clothes, they come for counseling, but they also come, we have our dinners there, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh,
we
sure.
Also have, just for everybody in the neighborhood, we have, you know, AA meetings, weekly, and we have we have pre-cana two or three Saturdays a month. So there's a lot of people who come to the building that are our clients, and others are people coming for services, some are board members, but we actually serve over 5,000 people every week. And then, you know, so this past year, we opened a few places, and so we now have 174 locations within the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Now, I have to say this, Mike, and that is, when was that 100th anniversary? Was that last February?
Well, it began before, but it ended officially in June of 2018.
Okay, can I remember that? When was that tremendous photo taken at the banquet hall? Maybe it was at the Hilton or the Sheraton or something.
Yeah, that was the 100th anniversary of the board. For 100 years, the Board of Advisors have met.
That's it, yeah. That was a great photo when you showed the photo from 100 years ago and the one taken just this last year.
Yeah. It shows how we've tried to really expand and have diversity on our board and, you know, all the great things. So, it's just really been tremendous. We also, in the past year, began a new partnership with Most Blessed Trinity Parish in Waukegan. So we do meal programs there. We have a community center there, a food pantry. We also have a domestic violence shelter. So we also opened a new daycare, licensed daycare, at our dom- domestic violence shelter, the House of Good Shepherd. It's the only one in the Midwest of a domestic violence shelter that actually has a licensed early childhood, so the moms could then work on, you know, themselves and therapy and training, or for job training and maybe going to school, financial literacy. So that has really been a tremendous blessing.
Now, Mike, we could spend a full hour on the work of Catholic Charities. It would be endless. And also, I have to say this, Mike, you have done a phenomenal job as the president of Catholic Charities. Everywhere I go, your name is synonymous with Catholic Charities. You seem to be everywhere in the good work you do. So I just have to take a moment on the air to say, you know, to Monsignor Mike Boland, you are doing a phenomenal job, and I thank you. We thank you.
Thank you. It's a humbling ministry to be at Catholic Charities and to serve the poor and to see the church so alive. You know, as Gracian spoke, how tough, you know, this past year has been, but there's been many other tough years, you know, and but really, I think, you know, people who are of faith and the Archdiocese should be very proud that, you know, of the great work that, you know, that Catholic Charities does, but our Catholic education, our Catholic health care. And when you think of all these many things, the very fabric of the city and of our neighborhoods and communities is still carrying on these ministries, and everyone at our place witnesses their faith in serving God's poor.
Well, we all know that in this kind of work, there's no standing still. You're either moving forward or you're losing ground. So what are you looking toward for the coming year?
Well, we hope to break ground for a building up at St. Joe's in Round Lake to expand our services. We do a lot of senior services. Actually, we're the main provider of all senior services and all Meals on Wheels up in Lake County. But the western part of the county, we want to expand our services there. So that will be very exciting for us to be able to do that. To try to continue to expand our domestic violence programs that we have, both helping out with the Archdiocese, with parishes. Also, we have a House of Good Shepherd. I'd like to expand that to be just a full domestic, state-of-the-art domestic violence shelter. And also to help support and work on our regular violence that occurs all over the city and suburbs, to try to see how we can help with prevention programs and trauma-informed counselors. We have to always, you know, be ready to be nimble. We have no idea what the economy is going to be like. We have no idea what other things will come in 2019, so we always have to be ready.
So, Mike, when you talk about domestic violence, how do you assist people who are within that predicament? Are you providing a shelter for women who need to flee the home?
Yes. So we have two domestic violence shelters, and the women can stay there, you know, for a year and a half, 2 years, whatever they really need. But more importantly, so we have that, and so we try to rebuild their life, help them rebuild their lives. We also have an aftercare program for them, so they come back, can continue, always come back and feel welcomed. We also support that in parishes, we help start and support with master-level counselors, people who are either in domestic violence situations in parishes, in the parish community, and or people who want to help people who are in domestic violence. So our counselors are professionally trained, and then if someone needs a place to go to, we have a place. And but the need is extraordinary, so we have to expand our capacity there. But also then that requires, you know, both capital dollars, but also the hand on the operation. So, you know, we're out in actually many parishes on domestic violence, trying to assist and to help, and then to work with people both in our victims of domestic violence. We have the campus there, and under the campus up in Waukegan.
I was going to say, you know, Mike, before I ask this next question, you're going to love the story. On Christmas morning, I gave Monsignor Mike Boland a phone call on Christmas morning to wish him blessed Christmas and to ask a question. Now, Mike always picks up his cell phone. He did not pick it up.
Oh.
I thought to myself, why is Mike not picking up the cell phone? It's because Mike was celebrating the 9:30 Mass at Holy Name Cathedral. He wasn't picking up the phone because it was during the middle of Mass. So Mike gives me a call after Mass and says, Greg, I would have loved to pick up your phone call, but I was at the cathedral, your cathedral, celebrating Mass. I said, gee, I didn't see your name on the list. I must have passed. So I wanted to ask Mike a question. He couldn't answer because he's celebrating the Mass. But that's a classic. You got to tell that to your brother Jerry.
I know. But I'll tell you, the woman you talked about, she came. She brought.
Oh, Joanna. Uh-huh.
Joanna pies and ham. And then she stayed and served the dinner.
Yeah. Oh. On Christmas morning.
Yeah, so it was tremendous. On Christmas morning,
Speaking of that, Mike, how can listeners get more involved like a Joanna who just came forward and gave me a call and said, Greg, it was a marvelous experience helping with the poor and the homeless, feeding them on Christmas morning. How can listeners get involved?
Well, there's many ways to get involved. They could always go to our website at CatholicCharities.net. They could always call our line 312-655-7323.
That number once again?
312-655-7323 if they want to volunteer. But, you know, there's Catholic Charities, we have people come who volunteer all throughout the year, serving our dinners, working our food pantries, or just mentoring. We have a great mentoring program in the back of the yards up in Lake County, up in Waukegan. So people would like to help out in so many different ways. They obviously could help out financially. They could obviously help by volunteering. Also, you know, to maybe learn more, to just talk about it, to help encourage people to realize that every 30 seconds, you know, somebody turns to Catholic Charities for help in the Archdiocese. So the need is extraordinary, and we are, you know, in many ways, the safety net for so many individuals in Cook and Lake Counties in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And so there's so many ways people can come. As you know, we had many families. The whole families came and served the dinners, our Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all Monday through Friday. We also serve them all over. We serve them in our Displains office in St. Blaise and Summit, St. Christopher Midlothian, St. Anton Hazelcrest.
Well, this is a way for all Catholics to live out the Beatitudes, to live out the corporal works of mercy in particular, feed the poor, clothe the poor, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless. So we stand in awe of the wonderful work that Catholic Charities does. It does it only because good people are generous enough to contribute to them, and because other good people are able to take that money and provide 158 different services to people throughout this vast archdiocese. So, Mike, thank you for what you do. Give our love and gratitude to all your people at Catholic Charities. And all of you listening, please continue to be generous.
For more information on Catholic Charities and how you can support its many ministries, go to CatholicCharities.net. We have much more to share with you on our Year in Review program. Stick around for the latest on Renew My Church.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development reaches out to people living on the margins. We'll take you to the UIC Pavilion, where more than 8,000 middle school students celebrated their faith at Holy Fire. And we'll introduce you to Deacon Freddie, who is on a mission to provide toys for needy children in Guatemala.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago Week in Review on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM. Every Saturday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago Week in Review.
Welcome back to Catholic Chicago Week in Review on Relevant Radio 950 and 930 AM. I'm Jim Dish at the Archdiocese of Chicago's Radio TV office with a year-in-review version of our program. Next up, Holy Name Cathedral Rector Father Greg Sackowitz and Graziano Marcheschi of Shalom Media talk with Father Jason Malavi, the Cardinal's delegate to Renew My Church.
Father Jason Malavi, welcome to Catholic Chicago. How are you, Jason?
Outstanding. Good to be with y'all.
Good with you. How was your Christmas?
You know, it was very good. I'm also the administrator at Assumption BVM Parish near Cook County Jail, so it was good to be here with the community here.
When did you become the administrator of that parish?
When Bishop Mark became Bishop Mark back in September.
So you're doing Renew My Church, plus you are an administrator of Assumption.
Just until July.
Oh, God bless you.
You know, I'm sorry you're not here in the studio because you're always so full of energy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this amazing big smile. I miss it. So,
well, I knew Jason when he was a young seminarian. Was that back? You came back, was it 19, not 85? Was it 87 you started, Jason, at Niles College?
Quigley High School in 85, and
No. They're in Niles College
in 89. Yep.
That's right, because I recruited you from Quigley into Niles College Seminary, 89.
That's right.
Boy, talk about a first-round draft choice. Jason Malavi out of Chicago. And so listen, to Jason, what's happening here in a review with Renew My Church?
Nice. So 2018 really saw Renew My Church, the beginnings of the structural reality of Renew My Church really taking form. So you think back to January, we had some of the first announcements of some of the first changes that were going to be happening in some of the parishes. And over the summer, we created six new parishes, uniting in many cases two parishes to become one parish. That happened back in July 1st of this year, 2018. And do you remember that? There was a big transformation of some of our archdiocesan reality of parishes when those parishes were united.
It was huge. I mean, nobody likes change, but I think it's been definitely for the better. Now, which ones are changing on the horizon for July 1, 19?
We've got a huge list of, I think the number 17 new parishes that will be created of uniting parishes. I think the number 17. But before we talk about that, we also can't forget about the fact that it was after those new parishes were created in the summertime. Then in October, we gathered 2,500 people together, and Gratz, you were there.
I was there.
Father Greg, you were there, I think, too. And we really
tremendous.
Showed, I think folks really had the opportunity to show folks what a renewed church can look like through music and through prayer and through real trust in the Holy Spirit.
I loved every minute of it. It was amazing.
It really was tremendous. It was outstanding.
And I think we hadn't been together as an archdiocesan in many, many, many years. So it was Old Home Week for many. And I think it was a good time for us to be together to rekindle our faith journey, remind ourselves that first, before anything else we do as a church, if we aren't walking as Jesus' disciples, we're not walking in the right direction.
You know, also struck me about those 2 days, Jason, was even as you were driving toward the Rosemont, that convention center, there were greeters for the cars. You'd pull in. I swear, before I actually got to the registration, I was greeted by 10 people to make sure I was in the right direction It was an unbelievable hospitality, even before you got your name tag.
Could you imagine if a new parishioner showed up to any one of our parishes, anywhere in the Archdiocese, and got that same kind of, you are in the right spot.
We're
welcoming one another in Jesus' name because we want to rekindle what it means to be Jesus' disciples.
Amen.
And this is a community of faith that wants to make sure you feel like you're at home. Could you imagine?
That's very
true. Many places have that sense of welcoming. What if all of them did? What if all the parishes had that sense of welcoming? And then great preaching and great music where you really felt the power of the Spirit alive in the church and the assembly.
The talks were powerful. The music was tremendous. The talks were tremendous. The camaraderie, the sharing. I really think people, Jason, to be honest with you, when they walked in that Monday, October 1, to the Rosemont Convention Center, were very leery of what's this going to be about. And people leaving on a high saying, this was phenomenal.
Yep, that was me.
I think that was me. That was me.
Well, no, I have to say, I was not skeptical ahead of time. I was looking forward to it.
But then I think that, you know, when I heard people, oh, why do we have to go? Another thing from the Archdiocese, oh, come on. And people leaving like, oh, my gosh. Also, you look around the room, 2,500. That in itself was a real testimony, the organization. And I think, Jason, you and the entire crew, Peter and others, just did a phenomenal job.
You know, so much of Renew My Church in the beginning stages, 2017 into 2018, was about structural changes. This was the first time we were able to say very dynamically and clearly, Renew My Church, yes, there has to be some structural changes, but more to the point, we can make all the structural changes in the world if we don't all together collectively renew our discipleship. Mm-hmm. And then, as strong disciples of Jesus start that process of evangelization and sharing what we have with others. If we don't do that, that's really the goal of Renew My Church, is to have a vital church because we're inviting others to be part of our faith community. We believe so deeply and dynamically about our own faith in Christ that we want to invite others to be a part of it as well, because our world is hungry for what Jesus offers. And we see that every Christmas. You know, we see that when people want to rekindle their faith life and reimagine what journeying with Jesus looks like. So that's the goal of Renew My Church, really, is to have that vitality of discipleship so that we have strong parish communities.
Yeah. You know, obviously, during these holidays, holy days, a lot of people come to church who haven't been there in a while. And I kind of worry because, you know, we have to do all this consolidation because those folks are not coming to church often and regularly enough. And I think, you know, so these folks come, they expect church to be there. It is there for them this year, but will it be there for them next year? You know, the church that they went to may have had to have been closed because they're just not coming regularly enough. They're not giving the kind of support.
Demographics change?
Yeah, that the churches need. To be able to survive that way. So obviously we need to do something beyond the church walls itself. You know, we have to be able to get out beyond those walls to remind people of how important a part of their lives this really has been and needs to continue to be.
Let me ask you this, Jason, in light of what just Grot said. In 2018, what was the biggest positive surprise for you with Renew My Church?
There were two. One has to do with uniting of parishes. When a youth minister at one parish, he was not exactly thrilled about the uniting of the parishes in his area. He's a young guy, probably in his mid-20s, and he was not thrilled about it in the beginning. There was a light switch that was shifted for him. The light was turned on. I forget when it was, and he looked at me and said, "I just realized that I can now serve twice as many teenagers in the youth ministry here in this parish that I did before." He looked at me and said, my Catholic family, my ministry just got two times bigger just with the announcement of the unification of these two parishes. And his whole face lit up, and he could see where the hard work he's been doing can be transferred to another parish that had no youth ministry. That was the first one.
What was number two?
So exciting. Number two was just being amidst the 2,500 people at the Rosemont Convention Center, you know, praying, and there was some clapping of hands in terms of the people's prayer, and people said that the spirit was very much alive in that convention hall when we were together, and to feel that spirit, and I still feel it when I think about it. I still feel the power of God wanting to break through and wanting to reach out to those Catholics who are not activated and wanting to touch the lives of those people who have questions about God and wanting to touch those who feel alone and they don't have a community.
And now, Jason, the other side of the question is, what was the biggest surprise, what was the biggest challenge this past year with Renew My Church?
I think the biggest, one of the challenges is, of course, for people who don't want to see the invitation to renew discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So some people don't want to see that. They don't want to acknowledge or see that there's more to this journey than just the structural piece. They want to pigeonhole it into the structural changes, and they don't want to see that our world is very much hurting and in need of the good news to be preached to them. So that'd be one, people who can't see beyond, oh, you're just about, you know, uniting parishes, that's all you're doing, and closing parishes, that's all you're doing. We're doing more than that. So it's hard for me to hear that when the message is so much bigger.
Yeah.
Or make the change next door and leave our parish alone.
That's right. That's another one. Yeah, that people don't see the need for a little bit of change. What we're doing now is fine, when in fact, in so many places, what we're doing now is not fine. That, you know, we, across the board, we only have 20-some% of our Catholics who pray on Sunday, and only 15 of every 100 kids who are confirmed actually continue in their faith. Those numbers are not fine.
Yeah.
So we've got to do not only a structural change, but a spiritual renewal across the diocese.
Well, Jason, we need to bring the segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Father Jason Malavi, the Cardinal's Delegate to Renew My Church, Strategic Planning and Implementation. Jason, you are doing a marvelous job. You've also added on an administrator of Assumption. So God bless you. Keep up your enthusiasm and blessings and joy in the new year. It's a joy this year. It's a privilege to be in the priesthood with you.
We wish Father Jason and his team continued success with the Renew My Church initiative. Coming up, Sister Stephanie from the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels, back in a moment.
My name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
More than 200,000 worshipers make a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We introduce you to the priest who will preach to the bishops when they attend a special retreat called by the Pope to be held at Mundelein Seminary in January. And we show you the unique sandcastle nativity scene that was erected by American artists in St. Peter's Square.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
What looks more peaceful than a sleeping baby? I'm Monsignor Mike Boland with Catholic Charities. So often mothers and fathers come to us, homeless, hungry, and hopeless, with a sleeping infant. They remind me of a cold, starry night and the mother, father, and their sleeping infant in Bethlehem. Because of your help, there is always room in our inn and hope.
Visit us at CatholicCharities.net. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Chicago Catholic school families are receiving a present this Christmas season in the form of tax credit scholarships. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The exciting news is that individuals and corporations that donate to tax credit scholarships will receive a 75% state tax credit while providing scholarship aid for students in need. Individual and corporate donors can reserve tax credits beginning January 2nd, but you need to take steps right now. Go to archchicago.org/TCS to guide you through the process. That site also shows you how to apply to receive scholarship money. You can also call 312-534-2617. Keep in mind, individuals can designate their donations to Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools. The website, once again, archchicago.org/TCS, or call 312-534-2617. Thank you for helping families in our Catholic schools.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development reaches out to people living on the margins. We'll take you to the UIC Pavilion, where more than 8,000 middle school students celebrated their faith at Holy Fire. And we'll introduce you to Deacon Freddie, who is on a mission to provide toys for needy children in Guatemala.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Welcome back to Catholic Chicago Week in Review, where we bring you highlights of Archdiocese of Chicago radio programs that can be heard Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 in the morning on WNDZ 750 AM. We wrap up our Year in Review show with Father Greg and Gratz visiting with Sister Stephanie Beliga of the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels in West Humboldt Park.
Stephanie is going to be talking about the wonderful work being done at the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels, a name that should sound very familiar to anyone who's lived in Chicago. The Mission of Our Lady of the Angels plans for Team OLA, we'll find out what that is, to once again take part in the Shamrock Shuffle and the Chicago Marathon. Good morning, Sister Stephanie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Sister Stephanie? How are you doing over there?
Very good.
In fact, didn't I just see you with the other sisters about a week or two ago at the cathedral?
Yeah.
For Mass.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Merry Christmas and a happy, blessed New Year.
So, Sister Stephanie, you are at the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels, recently celebrated the 60th anniversary of the historic fire that occurred there, a parish that had been waning in recent years, and then you folks stepped in. And now there's just this incredible life going on. Tell us about, what brought you there, how many years you've been there, what brought you there, and the kind of work you've been doing during the time you've been there.
Sure. Yeah. So the mission is, we're not a parish actually anymore. We're a missionary outreach to the poor here in West Humboldt Park. And I've been here for about 9 years, and we work with neighborhood surrounding the mission. We feed about 1,000 families a month and provide after-school programs for youth, programs for senior citizens, programs for families. Most importantly, bringing the love of Christ to a neighborhood that's really, really struggling with poverty and violence and various complicated family difficulties.
And you've been there now for 9 years, Sister Stephanie. And have you been the longest term running sister in that neighborhood?
No, Sister Kate and Sister Lisa have been here for about 10 years.
About 10 years. And now, just to maybe deviate for a moment, of course, last December 1, earlier this month, was the 60th anniversary of the horrific fire. I know there was a packed church with Cardinal Supich presiding. Were you part of it? Were you there that day?
Yes, we were all there. It was a blessing that the Cardinal was able to come join us for a Mass that day, actually at the exact time that the fire happened. We had Mass at 2 p.m., which is about when the actual fire started in the school 60 years ago.
Yeah, and also a great little story that Cardinal Supich told the priest of the house and also in a homily at the cathedral was a 95-year-old woman comes up to Cardinal Supich after Mass and says, "You know, Your Eminence, thank you very much for being here." And she pulled out of her purse a holy card, a picture of her daughter who was killed in the fire 60 mm-hmm. years ago, and gave the holy card to Cardinal Supich and said, "I've kept this holy card of my daughter in memory of her death for 60 years. I want you to have it." And she gave it to him, and Cardinal Supich keeps it in his pocket. He says, of all he's received in the 40-plus years as a priest, gifts, he says, one of the most precious gifts he's ever received, almost like a tear in his eye, with a 95-year-old mother who had lost a daughter back 60 years ago.
I hadn't heard that story yet. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it was a very powerful story. And now, and just maybe for a moment, Stephanie, just share with us the workings you do. I know also it gets me with your sisters there under leadership of Father Bob Lombardo, the joy you bring, the enthusiasm, the dedication. I know the neighborhood so welcomes you. I mean, they love the work you do, and you love them.
Yeah, we're very blessed. The neighborhood is one of the worst in Chicago, and it can be highlighted for all of the statistics that we see on the news all the time. But yes, we feel very safe here, and that all the neighbors appreciate what we're doing and protect us and protect the work we're doing and our volunteers and all those who come to help us.
They really watch out for you, don't they?
They do. They really do. They actually do.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And maybe just to step back for a moment, let me just change gears here for a second. Talk about the Shamrock Shuffle and Chicago Marathon, because you are a big runner, aren't you?
I am, yes. I ran for U of I and been running for a really long time.
So the thing is, how many marathons have you run in your life?
I think I've run 10. I think that's accurate.
I don't know about you, Grass, but I like to run to Dairy Queen. That's about my extent.
I like to run the air conditioner. I like.
But you actually ran at U of I. You were on the team.
Yeah, I was very blessed to be on the team when we placed sixth and eighth in the nation. Back in 2006
nice.
And 2008.
Did you ever suffer any severe injuries?
I did. I had several. I had three stress fractures in college. One was a clean break. Yeah, I ran like 70 miles a week, so eventually your bones start breaking.
Were you thinking of religious life at that time? Or did that come later?
Actually, my discernment of religious life came directly in result of the injuries, when I kind of realized this whole professional running thing was going to be not a realistic goal of my life. I kind of started to reevaluate my life priorities, and through that actually ended up discovering the beauty of the Eucharist and the beauty of the church, and started to discern religious life there.
I can share something. So I really want to be a middle linebacker in the National Football League, the Chicago Bears, and that changed in second grade when I first started thinking about priesthood. So my NFL career ended a little bit earlier.
It did end a little early.
Second grade.
Thank God for you and for any coach who might have.
Yeah, so I can relate to Stephanie. That is great. Well, tell us about this Shamrock Shuffle in the Marathon, Stephanie.
So the mission, we don't receive any direct funding from any outside source. We rely completely on the donation of private donors to keep the mission going.
Wow.
And our community funded. So Team Our Lady of Angels is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We have guaranteed entries to the 2019 Bank of America Chicago Marathon. And which right now you can't actually get into the race otherwise. You pretty much need to register with a charity to get into the Chicago Marathon at this point.
So, Jean, how many years have you run Shamrock Shuffle in Marathon? This will be year number
one. I've run the Chicago Marathon for 9 years. And last year was our first year as a team running in the Shamrock Shuffle.
And so you raised how much money?
We raised $205,000.
Are you kidding me?
Between the two teams last year.
Wait, time out.
It's a pretty serious fundraiser.
Wait, now tell me, this was an idea you had to head up a marathon team called Shamrock Shuffle. You raised $205,000 last year for your first attempt.
So how do you do that?
No. We've been having the Chicago Marathon fundraiser for 8 years at this point. So this is like an 8-year buildup to that.
Oh,
point.
That's wow. Your total. Okay.
Yeah, that was the total for all the races.
So do you raise the money? Do people make pledges to you?
Yes. So we'll have, last year we had 85 people on the team. This year we should have upwards of 100 people on the team. And everyone will ask their friends and family to donate to the cause. And it all adds up really beautifully and works out.
Yeah, praise God.
That is good.
In fact, you were on the program to promote it this past year.
Yes, I was.
Exactly. And I think it's just a great work. And what's interesting is the work that you do receives such great publicity, radio, television, print. It's just such a story. The work that you sisters do and Father Bob Lombardo and all the volunteers is such a sign of hope. And now, if someone wants to actually get involved and help with your ministry, how can they get involved, Stephanie?
Yeah, the best way to find out information about the mission and Team OLA is to go to missionola.com.
One more time.
And there's information about everything. missionola.com.
What about a phone call or number?
Yep, you can call 773-486-8431.
Then number once again.
773-486-8431.
And the Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago, does the of Chicago part mean that you're a diocesan order?
Great question. The of Chicago part is mostly to differentiate us from another community called the Franciscans of the Eucharist that live on the East Coast.
Okay.
We are under the jurisdiction of the Archdiocese right now as well.
How many in your community total?
There are 10 of us total, including Father Bob.
And you're all in Chicago at OLA?
We're all at OLA.
Now,
yes.
If a young lady wanted to maybe learn more about your community, how would they do so?
A young lady or a young man, we got men as well. You could go to Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago.com. Really long. Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago.com.
Okay.
Oh, so you have men and women in the community?
We do. We have parallel branches of men and women that work parallel.
And are the men brothers or do they get ordained?
Well, right now we only have one man in formation, and he's only been here for a year, so he's still discerning whether he'd be a priest or stay a brother. So they could do either.
Now that is fascinating. And so now the Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago have been around for how many years?
A little over 8. We were September 1st, 2000. September 1st, 2010 is when we came into official existence.
So really, it's very brand new.
Yeah. See, this is how charisms rise up within the body of Christ.
Exactly.
There's a need, and somebody says, here I am, send me. And God bless you all for responding to that call. That's wonderful.
I just want to say, Sister Stephanie, you and the other sisters, every time I see all of you or one of you, you are so joy-filled, dedicated, genuine. You exude Christ. And the work you do, I think it just reflect the presence of Christ. And we need to bring this segment to a program to a close. I want to thank you, Sister Stephanie Beligos, Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago, for the great work they do at Our Lady of the Angels Mission on the west side of Humboldt Park area. So to all the sisters, God bless you, and give our very best to Father Bob Lombardo.
Thanks to Sister Stephanie and all the wonderful people who minister at the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels. To help that ministry, go to missionola.com. That's missionola.com. Thanks for listening to us every Saturday morning here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 and 9:30 a.m. I'm Jim Dish for Catholic Chicago Week in Review. Happy New Year, everyone.
Join us every Saturday morning for Catholic Chicago Week in Review. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.